Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is the Mike Caldas Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. Let's get Steve-O. Bring Steve-O in the studio. Huh? What are we wasting time looking at Spanish for? What is today? Friday? Tonight? Spanish? Is he, no, he's not at Hush today because he's going to Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
Look at that guy right there. Steve-O is here. I don't know why you came. I wouldn't have come all the way here with sold out shows. That's how much I love you.
Hey, man.
You're a good dude.
That's what's up, dude? I was so psyched to come here.
I am very happy to see you for so many reasons.
Likewise.
First of all, you are one of my favorite people. You make me happy.
Cool, man.
And two, you make me nervous. You realize people are now.
I understand. I've heard all about this, and these people are idiots.
People are blaming me for ending the Jackass franchise.
I have never blamed you at all.
Clip 34.
What is it?
Clip 34.
Hold on, I want to hear it.
Let's
hear it. I don't have a 34. Hold on.
I've said it so many times to so many people. I said there's a radio DJ in Tampa I really love and respect. And how much I appreciate how you were candid in saying what you said.
You don't just say, you really put me over. You look at Larry King and you're like, there's a guy in Tampa. You just like, everybody should know. It was wonderful.
Right.
I loved it. Made me very proud.
For sure. And you should be. You're a great radio guy, man.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll play. This is, which way, is this all of them?
That's just the latest one.
Okay.
Is there ever going to be another Jackass?
This guy, I don't even know who this is. There's Adam Carolla. There's Larry King. People are like, hey, Steve-O mentioned you on this podcast.
Sure.
I go, great. Listen, and I listened to it and I went, oh my God.
Is there ever going to be another Jackass? It's not happening.
I doubt it, man. We got to get all the guys healthy, you know?
Right.
I should say the remaining guys, which is a sad thing to say. But
Podcast? No, I don't know. I don't know what this is like the latest
Rich,
one.
Rich Roll.
Yeah, this was from May of 2016.
Rich Roll, okay.
This is the least popular one
of the ones that you've been on. Just a few weeks ago. That's why I grabbed these.
They're healthy. Right. Some of the guys are, can free up.
But this sounds
like I'm about to kill myself in this clip.
Yeah, you do. You sound like you were writing it as you're about to jump off the ledge.
It's just that every so often, there will be this one guy from Jackass will initiate an email.
By the way, now that leads me. You never say who it is. You always say like one guy usually starts it. So in my mind, Preston is naked and crying, and he's like, "I got nothing going. Oh, you guys got something. I'm too fat to skateboard. So all I had is this movie, and you took it away."
It's Dave England.
Even better.
To the whole cast and Spike Jones and Knoxville Tremaine,
What's that?
It says Steve-O, former nut stable. Why former? Are you taking that away from me? Come on, guys, come on. Like trying to rally to get a fourth Jackass movie underway. And it generally doesn't catch fire, there's not really.
Just get to the good part.
Yeah, where's
dying.
The
kill the clip, man? We get it. Tampa.
Oh, here you go. There you go. That's what you're talking about. Me. Here we go.
Okay. I responded to the last one by saying, hey, I was in Tampa promoting shows on the radio, and this radio DJ guy named Mike Calta.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Something that really was impactful to me. He said that when he went to the theater to watch Jackass 3D, that he went with a fear, the nervousness that it would have reached a point already that it had become sad.
Oh, that's it. Killed it. The man who killed the franchise right there.
Dude, that's it. I'm not doing any more podcasts I never heard of.
Save it all for the famous ones. Oh, my God.
Man, like that bummed me out, that clip.
Yeah.
In any case, dude, it's all good. And if there was any blame for there not being another Jackass in the works, like let's be frank, you know, like it's squarely on Bam. Get healthy.
How is he doing?
I saw him last week. He wasn't in terrible shape, but I was doing shows at the Richmond Funny Bone.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I'm driving down to Richmond. Cool." And I'm like, "Sweet, let's meet up." And then he's like, "Man, can I get on stage for like 10 minutes?" I'm like, "Sure." And then I did all my press. I'm like, "Yeah, Bam's going to get on stage." And he just disappeared.
Oh, he didn't show?
Yeah, he got cold feet. He took off. He never even said anything. He just flaked out.
Oh, that's not good.
Whatever, man. I mean, I'm not going to hold that against him. But,
no, but you
general,
know, it's...
like, this whole thing that he's done with the, you know, the VH1 rehab TV kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just a bummer. And I wish that everybody just wants him to get healthy and do well.
How much, like, I don't know, when he was doing Viva La Bam, which to me was one of my favorite things ever. Seriously, I bought the DVDs and I was just driving around and watching them while I was in the car. What was his drug level then? Like, it didn't seem to me like he was, other than whatever the fun stuff was.
Right. I think that with Bam, mostly it's alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's always been mostly with alcohol. And I think that, I guess there's been some kind of, like, you know, uppers, but I would guess primarily so that he can just drink more alcohol.
Keep going. Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't want to, like, talk bad about Bam, but I just, like everybody just, like I said, everybody wants him to get healthy. Everybody wants him to do well. And,
do you feel like you have some sort of burden because you have, you have straightened yourself up that you have to be like the angel of the Jackass crew?
God, no. there's nothing about that. I don't have to be an angel or anything. But I think that what there is there's kind of a sense that, Knoxville organized an intervention and got Steve-O sober. So why can't they do that for Bam?
Right.
And the thing about it is that at the time when they pulled the intervention on me, It was really clear, black and white, that I qualified for California's 5150 law, which is the same as Florida's Baker Act.
Yeah, lock you up.
You know, Baker Act. They just lock them up.
Right.
You know? And they got me locked up, and I was in such terrible shape that the psychiatric ward was able to keep me legally, and they just kept me long enough until it clicked for me that I really needed to do what I needed to do, and so. It was fortunate the way it worked out. Now, the thing is that if somebody isn't inclined to be willing to get help and to be willing to do the work that it takes to get clean and sober, then there's not really anything you can do to help them.
Right.
I compare it to a swimming pool. It's like super uncomfortable when you jump in the swimming pool, but if you decide you want to stay in and paddle around, like soon enough, it kind of doesn't.
Works out, yeah.
You know, soon enough, like you acclimate and it doesn't feel cold anymore.
Yeah.
But you just can't go like pushing people in the pool and expect them to stay in, you know?
Can I tell you, as I said, something that resonated with you, what you left with me?
Sure.
You said the thing that you miss most about doing drugs is the voices that
I used
to hear.
Big time. I don't want a beer or a doobie or something. Like, I want to pile drugs into my body
right.
So there are people walking around that aren't physically there.
Until I'm
in on like the. In some other dimension.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, did you ever watch that, The Demise and Rise?
I wound up watching it, actually not that long ago, probably about 1 year ago.
I gotta tell you, I watched it whenever it came out. That was frightening. I mean, to watch you the way you were, I was like, this guy's
right.
out of his mind.
The most frightening thing is that everything that I said and did at my worst, I just thought it was so cool. I thought I was on, I am on to something, dude. This is the coolest thing ever. Then it turned out, it wasn't actually that cool.
I don't do drugs. I'm not against them. I just never got into it, you know?
Right.
I tried smoking pot a couple of times. It doesn't really do anything for me. But I want to do some of that stuff. There's a guy who hosts a show here on Sundays. It's Migs and Swig. And Swig he's a sober for like 30 years now, whatever. But he said the other day, they were talking about this news story where they said that Molly and ecstasy and drugs like that, they're being used for medicinal purposes. I forgot what it was, people with cancer or something like that. And he said, I'm such an addict that I almost wish I had cancer so I could take ecstasy again. And I thought, man, you guys must have had a ball.
Oh, dude. That's a good example.
Yeah.
I went to the theater and watched the Amy Winehouse documentary, which is like, I mean, you don't even have to have necessarily seen the documentary to get that it is the least glamorizing, you know?
Sure.
It is just like the most utterly upsetting, like, display of a chronic, you know, addiction. And I walked out of the theater just like really like, I'm like, man, you know, I've been sober for years. And I don't really have urges, but that documentary made me want to get loaded.
Like,
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Like, there was nothing that looked good about it, and I'm the one who walked out like really wanting to get high.
Everyone else didn't get
the point of the documentary. Yeah,
such a waste. She was a talent. Why was she? You know, I was like, I need some cocaine.
Right.
What do you miss the most?
I mean, like I said, I mean, hearing voices was great.
I mean, what drug, though?
Oh, what drug?
Yeah, like if there's one you could use casually and, you know, if you knew, hey, I could use...
You know, like I don't even... I used to have like a... I don't even really have like one favorite.
No.
Know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, like the staples were... Of course, alcohol and weed first, and then. But then the thing is that as soon as I have a drink or two, then I need to have some cocaine.
Yeah, you know.
And then I can't like, you know, deal with cocaine without having some kind of pills, and then like, so that's sort of the kind of family of like the immediate family.
Right.
But then like, you know, like the extended family would come for visits, like, you know, like
Uncle Meth is here.
Yeah. I never really got into meth, but of course I never turned it down either. But I would like, oh my God, I loved ketamine.
I don't even know what ketamine is. It sounds like a vitamin. If somebody said take ketamine before you work out, I'd be like, all right.
Ketamine is, it's like pharmaceutical PCP, and they use it to for like horse tranquilizer or something. Like, you know, I mean, dude, I had some experiences on ketamine that were wild, man. Like, I remember being in a hotel room in London, England, and just doing it to the point where like you kind of overload.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, the hotel room that I was in just started free falling. I mean, I looked up and I could see like an elevator shaft that it was like falling through, and I was just in free fall, like, whoa. And then I remember thinking, like, wow, you know, I got in the bathtub and I'm like sitting in the bathtub and my feet were like 30 yards away. You know? It was just like my whole like depth perception, like everything just like out the window.
I'm dying to do that one time.
I remember thinking, like, man, I'm so cool. Like, Jim Morrison doesn't have anything on me.
Did you ever think, though, like, oh, look how big my feet are, I could step off the balcony? That's what would make me nervous.
No, I don't think.
But you could still have your common sense about you.
I think you could know better than to jump off the balcony.
I want to do acid, but I need to be strictly
acid?
Watched.
Right, I don't know.
You can't even do acid, though, right?
Of course not. At this point, no. I can't do anything now. But I took a lot of acid. The first time I ever really tripped on acid was at a Grateful Dead concert in November of 1990.
Uh-huh.
I remember because I was like keeping a journal at the time, and like I came home from the concert, I was tripping so hard. I know I had school the next day, and I was like hallucinating. I remember like. Just seeing things kind of move around.
Trails, yeah.
And I got in bed, and I'm like, I was like really serious about trying to like get to sleep because I had school the next day. And so I'm laying in bed, and I remember being like sort of being like mindful, careful, because I didn't want to disturb the me that was in front of me or the me that was in back of me. There were literally three of me in the bed at the same time, and I was like being mindful not to disturb the other two.
Very nice.
That's funny. You're the most polite drug addict I've ever met.
Right, and then I never have such a cool experience again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was some pretty cool stuff that happened, but.
That's so funny. Steve-O is here. Steve-O is going to be at the Vasani Hall. You only have one real opportunity to see him if you don't have tickets already. It's Vasani Restaurant Comedy Theater in Port Charlotte. You can go to Vasani.net, and it's a late show on Sunday. You're killing it, dude.
Yeah, I
watched your special.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
thank
of course
you,
I did. Of
thank
course I did.
Thank you so much. Yeah, because I remember when. I shouldn't even say this, but when we did that show together at the Hard Rock Casino?
Hard Rock, yeah.
Remember, I had that girl I was dating, and she had never seen me do stand-up before. And, you know, we went to that show, and I was, like, really psyched about it. Because I'd had great experiences at Hard Rock Casinos. But when we came out, it looked to me like... like the most depressing, like, you know, like just old person, like retired. I feel like I was doing a show at retirement home. Like a retirement home where half the people already died.
Right.
And it was, and I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't.
Because
you should never talk bad about a show that you did. But right. I remember being mortified because like I wasn't like getting like the reaction that I'm used to. You need a
response from the crowd in order to know. Here's why, okay? Because it's also a Hard Rock Cafe. So there's people in there eating at the other end of the cafe that
right,
don't
now,
know what's
now
going
some,
on.
Someone at the Hard Rock just scratched me off their list.
No, because you're not talking bad about the place.
No, not at all. And I've had great experiences with them.
And they also give free tickets to their high rollers.
Right.
And their high rollers just like to get free stuff. So they may not be a fan of yours. They don't know. And all of a sudden they're there and they're like, oh, where's the guy from Roseanne? And then you're on stage talking about doing drugs and they're like, what's going on?
Right.
So, and then Tom Green was there to throw everything off. So it was, trust me, I get it. And there's nothing against Hard Rock.
I was mortified because here's the
You didn't know, do
the,
bad. It wasn't a bad show.
I mean, I don't think it was bad, but I mean, I wanted to impress you too. I wanted just like.
I was impressed. I stayed twice.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know how comedians are. We're super insecure.
I volunteered. I called them and I said, I don't even want to get paid. I want to do this show. I want to
MC it. I'm
so
grateful for that.
And I said, I just want to be a part of it because I love these guys. And then I got there and they were like, There's two shows, and I went, oh, I didn't know about that. And I think it was Tom Green. He was like, I didn't know there were two shows either.
Not normal for casinos.
No. But I had a good time. I didn't care.
Oh,
so,
man, I just loved hanging out with you. It was great. And you watched my comedy special. It means the world to
me. Oh, yeah, of course, dude.
That means the world to me, because I was really happy with how that went.
Because I lie to a lot of people, and I say, I'm going to come to your show. And then I go,
sure, of course.
I mean, I like them, but I got things to do. I'm playing Crossy Roads on Apple TV. So you were with Stacy when you were
Stacy,
here.
Correct.
I thought she might have been the one before you because she was like, she classed it up and she had an accent and all that stuff. And the next thing you know, it's over. And you and I don't really like talk a lot during the year.
You know, I was like, I was going to text you on the drive up here because I was like, because you were talking to that guy's mom.
Yeah.
And I was going to text you like, wow, like I'm glad that I'm, you know, coming into a nice light. keeping it light for me this morning. That was a heavy.
I don't know what to expect. The guy's in my neighborhood hiding in the woods. If I see him, I'm going to shoot him in the face. And I wanted to talk to his mom.
I know.
We finally got her on. So.
But, dude, like in that interview, and not to, you know, go on a tangent here, but I was really impressed by you because here you're asking, I mean, like, talk about sensitive subject matter.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so you think that your son's killed himself already, huh?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
oh, she handed it. Yeah.
I mean, you really walked a tightrope in that. And, you know, like,
sometimes I care about the people that I'm talking to,
sure.
And sometimes I don't. It really is based on them.
It's a balancing act because it's like, here, you know, it's super sensitive and you're out here like, oh, so your son's a real pile, you know? Like, everybody, you know, like,
right.
I just felt that you handled that really,
I started
really well.
Off, I wanted to tell her, listen, I live in that area. If I see him, I'm going to shoot him in my backyard. But then when I got on the phone with her, she was sweet, and I felt bad with her.
She was super sweet.
You got seven kids, you're going to assume one of them's an ass.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I felt bad for her, and she's like, look, we try everything. And she started doing mad, and I felt bad, so I didn't want to be mean to her.
It was this crazy, like, not sensitive at all, but, like, but warm.
Yeah, right,
like,
right.
You were, like, really, like, I was just impressed with that interview, but in any case,
don't try to skate away from relationship talk.
Right.
Where did it go wrong with you and Stacy? Do you just get tired of chicks after a while?
You know what I think.
I don't mean that like in a bad way.
No,
I mean, like,
well, that dude, you hit me right on the head.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, like, that's pretty much.
Tommy Lee broke up with Pamela Anderson. That's after a while, you just get sick of it.
You know, I was even telling these guys from the club on the way up, I was just like, man, you know, like, talking about, like, life on the road as a comedian, it's kind of no way to live. Like, you're in, you know, hotels.
It's
like,
the best way to live. When you're, let me tell you, I'm married for 13 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay? If on Tuesday I said to my wife, well, got to go to Cleveland, see you on Monday, it'd be the best marriage ever.
Right. I mean, hey,
for her, too. Because by Wednesday, she's like, get out of my life.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, but I'll see you in a couple of days.
Right.
Every weekend.
But the thing is that what I was saying is that everything that you're kind of denied by in that lifestyle, you know, like, which is sort of like home, stable,
yeah,
relationship,
yeah,
like family. Like, I'm at a point where I almost feel like I'm just not
cut out for it.
Yeah, that might be true. At least you're being honest with yourself. Right. You don't force yourself into it, even though, because she had kids, and you were good with the kids, and you don't want to pretend you're going to be that guy and then never be that guy.
Dude, it was the worst, man. Of any relationship that I just, like, felt like the worst person coming out of, it's that one.
Yeah, you know?
Really? Because, like, I go into it. There's just something wrong with me, man. I go into a relationship and I'm just like head over heels, and this is the most like incredible person, and I'm just so in love, and I'm just saying all this crazy stuff, and like, and ultimately, like, just like luring them in to like really just like, you know, fall for me, and
then
I've lured them in, and then I just kind of lose interest. Just like go turn cold, and then I just,
and what do you say?
Withdraw. And
how do you get out?
Well, I mean, in that case, like, legitimately, there was, like, she lives in England and has kids, and I live in Los Angeles, and, like, you know.
Even better.
I mean, so there was enough going on, like, that served as obstacles in that relationship that I could kind of just sort of say, hey, look, you know, this is, like, who are we fooling?
Who are we fooling?
Like, this isn't going to work. But of course, like, that was just a really tough one. And I felt terrible, man. And it's been like over and over and over where, like, oh my God, maybe I'm just not cut out for relationships. Maybe I should just be on Tinder, you know?
If I had a little bit of fame, I'd be a Tinder in every city. I'd be like Tindering it up. I would leave a trail. So wait a second. So how long before Stacy do you hop in another relationship?
I think that there was about 6 months there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you still in a relationship?
No.
You're out of Kat Von D, right?
Yeah.
You Kat Von out?
Yeah.
Now, did you know her before you had a relationship with her?
I knew Kat for, and I love Kat so much.
Yeah,
I knew Kat for 10 years.
Okay, then where do you decide it's going to get romantic?
Oh, man, well, we were kind of romantic back 10 years ago. Really, like, we dated in 2007, and I was just a pile. Neither of us were sober at the time.
Right.
And Kat kind of, like, I would describe that she kind of wanted to rescue me from myself at the time.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, it's kind of, that was the dynamic, and she would get me really to a place where I'm like, oh, you know, like, I'd be like lucid on it on a given day, and I'd be like, oh, and she'd be like, you're so great when you're sober, and I would promise her, like, I'm not gonna do drugs anymore, you know. I'm just gonna be this way, this is great, I'm so happy with you, and I'm gonna, and then, like, ultimately I would just be back on drugs, and she would, like, show up at my apartment, and I'd be swimming in like an ocean of these Whippet cartridges, and ultimately, like, she just, it was just too heartbreaking for her, and she just had to just dip out.
But now, sober. But
then, right. And so, and that's what it really was back in the day. And then, like, and I took it terribly when she cut me loose, you know, in 2007.
Right.
I really took it hard. You know, I was, like, super heartbroken, and, like, my way of dealing with that was to lash out in, like, really nasty ways, you know, as such that she should not have ever really forgiven
me. Talk to you again.
She should have just never forgiven me because I was so nasty about it.
Wow.
And the thing was, and like, when I was in rehab, like, I wrote her a letter, like, sort of saying, like, how, you know, how terrible I felt, and she gave me this response that was the most evolved, like, mature. She said, hey, you know, like, of all the things, the nasty things that you did to me, I never took any of that personally.
Because she knew it was where it was coming from.
She knew it. She said, I knew that it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with what you were going through. And I just wanted you to get better, and I'm glad that now you're getting better. And
she's good.
I never needed to forgive you because I never took anything personally. And I'm like, wow. I, of course, carried, like, a lot of shame for that for a long time. And, you know, years later, you know, we were kind of reintroduced to each other for a good couple of years.
Yeah.
Before we got romantic. And she had no idea that I had, like, you know, never gotten over her. And, like,
oh, really?
I was, you know, like, just, you know, and it's sort of, there was, like, a lot of healing that was going on. And ultimately, I don't know, I just, we just sort of went for it. And it just wasn't going to work. I mean, I don't have anything negative to say.
Sick of that one too, didn't you?
It was less that than it was just super intense, you know? And the intensity was like, it just created kind of friction.
Yeah.
Not that anybody was right or wrong. It was just that we kind of couldn't.
You think she's the same way as you, that she might be getting, because, you know, she's gone through some pretty famous people. She gets sick after a while. One day Probably. She woke up and realized Nikki Sixx had old balls and she's like, don't him. Move on to the next guy. I guess when you're coming from that point of fame, maybe you get sick of each other.
I think that there's, you know, there's like a whole like sort of science or whatever, like the study of love addiction.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't believe that it's real, but I think it is. And I think that kind of is
wanting to be in love more than the person.
Believing that you're in love.
Yeah.
The idea of love and like, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Robert Palmer,
addicted to love.
Is that a best?
there's a lot going on there. And I don't know. I just have so much love and admiration for Kat.
Well, that's
just
good.
It just wasn't going to work.
Well, that's good. But you tied up some loose ends and you guys are still on good terms. And that's good for your health.
I don't think that there's any animosity. I mean, we're not really on any terms at this point.
Right.
But yeah, like as far as like sort of, you know, healing from a lot of stuff I was beating myself up over, you know, back in the day, I'm really glad that kind of is put to bed.
When did that end? How long ago?
March 2nd.
Oh, man. You got the date and everything? You put that in a diary? Dear diary, today, Cat Round 2 is over.
I just remember it was March 2nd.
Do you, even though you're over it, do you get jealous when you read like in the paper now that she's dating like Brett Michaels or something? You're like, Brett Michaels.
Is she?
Oh, I made it up. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I would have trouble believing that. But I think that I could handle that, you know.
Like, I don't care about my ex-girlfriend, but when I find out she's dating some guy who's cooler than I am or has his own cool aspect, I'm like, wait a second. Why is she doing that, you know?
I don't. It's hard for me to gauge how I'd feel about that.
Mm.
Because I don't want to say, I wouldn't care. You know, I don't want to say that. But then, you know, at the same time, I'm really pretty sure that we're just not supposed to be romantically.
Did she tattoo you anywhere?
We'd.
This is great because it's a yes or no question, and you've not said yes or no.
But like
so.
way back in the day, like
I
was like I might have been the only person to tattoo her on her show.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if anybody else did or not, but certainly like that was more of an exception than the rule.
Gotcha.
And I tattooed like a skull with a thing that said like S heart K.
Adorable.
Right.
Did she cover it?
No, she kept it for 10 years, and I couldn't understand why.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, I was just such a nasty guy.
You and I talked about getting matching tattoos last time you were here.
Did we go
Let's go get a skull. It says S and M inside it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. There you go, S&M. That'd
be great.
Down.
I'm trying to do, I want to do, like, a full sleeve on this arm, but I keep running out of ideas, so I'll put anything on it at this point.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think you want to play tattoo roulette with Steve-O.
No, I don't.
I think he's going to win
kids.
That. He's like, yeah, okay.
I don't even have much urge to get more tattoos.
I do. I don't know why. I don't know what I'm running from, what I'm trying to cover up. I don't know.
Right. It's something, huh?
What will you do while you're here these couple of days? Your family down here?
My family's on the east coast of Florida.
Okay.
So... I'm not going to make it out there on this trip.
You travel alone or you travel?
No, I travel with a road dog.
The dude that's always with you?
Uh-huh.
In all your Snapchat videos?
Right, right.
Okay, so my favorite was, because it took him a while. When he was here last time, he was still a little shy. Like,
right.
You know, now you guys were on the plane and you were sleeping and he smacked you right in the face. And I thought, he's got some balls about him now.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great. I love him so much. You know, I'm glad you mentioned my Snapchat too. Like I go through phases with it, you know, like where I'll be like super hot and doing like real crazy stuff and then I'll just get quiet for a while. But I love it when I turn up the heat on that.
Yeah, it's good. It keeps you, you're one of the few people, you got a little... Like a little star or something next to
right.
it.
Isn't it like a little fire thing?
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. I dig it that you still pay attention to it, keep it alive. Steve-O is going to be at the Visani Restaurant and Comedy Theater in Port Charlotte. There are shows tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, and you will probably only get into the Sunday 9:45 show because the rest of it was sold out.
Yeah, everything was sold out before that. And thank you, Port Charlotte. Thank you, South Florida. Like,
yeah.
I mean, as I love Florida, and I'm so grateful that here I'm in that position where everything's sold out and we added a show. Like, you know, who wants to go to a comedy club at like 10 p.m. on a Sunday night?
But if you're selling it out,
it's going to be totally sold out. And I love that. And dude, like, what? I'm sure this is the last thing that you want to talk about. Like,
no,
the,
I won't talk about anything.
About the Bubba controversy.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I just wanted to say, I've said it before, and I just like, you know, I'll say it again, that like I had Tampa like crossed off my list for like, you know, I was avoiding Tampa.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I could not effectively do any shows in Tampa and properly promote them without going on Bubba's show.
Uh huh.
And it was just like, oh, so
boy, have those times changed.
I just totally was avoiding it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything that was like, it was completely like by accident. The one time I showed up, you know, I was new doing comedy. It was 2011, and I was at the Tampa Improv, and I came in to promote my shows, and I walked in, and Bubba, I'd never met him. I didn't know what was going on. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's showing me all these crazy videos where they're doing like Jackass stuff.
Right.
But it was all really dark. And like, it was like kind of not like, it just kind of bummed me out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, like, yeah. And he was upset.
It's like watching a snuff film.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, after it's over, you're like, I'm not getting excited from this.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. And it really offended him that I didn't sort of get excited about what he was showing me. But he was like, oh, okay, no, it's cool. And then he had this like soccer ball that they had glued.
Tacks. Yeah,
all
I remember,
over.
Yeah.
And they're going to kick it at this guy's back. And I'm like, wow, like, you know, attacking your vertebrae. I mean, that's like spinal cord injury. Like,
right.
I'm going to go ahead and like, have nothing to do with this. And that was the ultimate offense. And I didn't like want to offend anybody. I just wasn't into it.
You didn't want to see the guy get paralyzed.
Right.
Yeah. How
right.
dare you?
Right. Yeah. I didn't want, and I just kind of left. And, mm-hmm. and from that point on, it was sort of like, it was like all out war, you know, like here, like Bubba's just super like against Steve-O. And
right. Big crybaby.
I didn't want that. And I was like super bummed about it, but there was just so much like negativity coming from that. And I thought, oh no, I can't go to Tampa anymore.
Surprise.
Right.
Now you're selling out six shows in Port Charlotte. Without him and his hack 90s radio
bitch.
It's
crazy. And like, I mean, I don't want to like pile on too much.
No,
but,
no.
But I heard him on Howard Stern like trying to say that like you put out a sex tape or something. Did he accuse you of that?
Yes.
The Hulk Hogan thing? He said that you did it.
Yeah.
So that he would be fired and then you could take over his job.
And does that make any sense?
I mean, it doesn't make much sense to me, man. But but I'm just like, I love... Like your reach, has your reach grown? Because like you're all the way down to Fort Myers.
We have the one of the strongest FM signals in the entire country, and we have like one of the tallest. Our tower is like one of the tallest structures in the world. So because Florida is so flat, we go everywhere.
Okay.
And I mean, we go down to Fort Myers, we go down to Orlando, we go down. So we're all over the state. But we have a band. We have our show as like a cover band that we play in, and We play in Port Charlotte. Like, that's technically two markets away from us,
right.
Radio-wise.
Sure.
But we play out there. We play in Fort Myers. We play out, and we play all over the place. So we find that anything we call it over the bridge, anything over that Skyway Bridge in Sarasota, Bradenton, Palmetto, all the way down to Fort Myers have been so supportive of this show.
Sure.
That anything we do, and I think it was Ralphie was the first person to play, right? Was it Ralphie the first person to play Vizzani that we really started promoting because we didn't
right.
even know that it was out there, you know?
And thanks for mentioning Vizzani. These guys were like so thrilled to come up here. Like they're like just like, oh my, they listen to your show like all the time.
That
like,
means a ton to me, man. It does.
And the one guy, his girl called him out. He's like, oh dude, like both these dudes are coming up. Like,
right.
They're just giddy. They're just giddy. The fact that they're sitting on their sofa, like they're really, really stoked.
So they're not dating?
No,
I'm kidding. I'm just making a joke.
But they got a great operation going down there, man. I'm real impressed.
Good.
With,
that's awesome. Hang out. You don't have to leave, right?
Oh,
hang
yeah,
out.
Absolutely
okay.
Not.
Let me take a break, play some commercials, come back. Steve O is here. Vizzani is visani.net is their website address. They have one show available, the late night show on Sunday. I promise you it'll be great. It's out there on Kings Highway. We'll take a break when we back and more with Steve-O. It's the Mike Calta Show.
The Mike Calta Show on 102.5 The Bone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.